For those of you who don't know online that are watching, this is Ray Silvey. He's one of our elders here in the church. You know, we are blessed. We have many people in our classes and, you know, on Sunday mornings. We have many different people who are people who can really bring forth the word. And as a body of believers, we are truly blessed to have men and women who love the word of God. And I just want to hear it, want to study it, want to share it, want to pray about it. And so we are going to pray right now for Ray that you would anoint him. Lord God, we pray that you would use Ray this morning, Lord God, that you would bless him, anoint him, use him for your glory, Lord God, and that you would also anoint our hearts to receive this word, Lord, that we might grow and prosper, Lord God, and just grow, as your word says, in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Well, first of all, I want to just thank God for the opportunity that he gives me to be here this morning to share what he wants to say. Right? So it's not what I want to say, it's what God wants to say. So hopefully I can, it's just something in me, I just can't stand still. You can ask my wife. Even when I'm on the phone at home with work, I'll pace the whole house back and forth. So I was given specific instructions from the camera crew to don't go beyond the pews. That's going to be hard, right? That's going to be hard. But I was given instructions to, as long as you stay, because you can go from left to right, don't pass that, because then we can't see you. So if you see me trying to cross it, just like, you know, back up. So amen. But what I want to talk about this morning is something that God put in my heart a couple of weeks ago. And we've been going back and forth for several weeks. This is something I want to share because it's something that's also personal. And so I want to share it with you this morning. And the title of what I want to talk about is one's about holding on. Holding on. Somebody asked me earlier, holding on to what? I said, exactly. What are we holding on to? Amen. So I want to bring up Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell to his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not give false testimony. You should not defraud. Honor your mother and your father. Or your father and your mother, I'm sorry. Says, teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. He goes, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, I know that Pastor Don shared the same verse the other day. It says, Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now, my message is not about wealth this morning. I said earlier, it's about holding on. Now, this man that went to Jesus, right, and asked what must he do to, you know, to have eternal life? And Jesus gave him an answer. But he didn't like the answer. See, Jesus told him what he needed to do. And he probably pondered for a second. And it says that he went away with his face down. You see, this man was not willing to let go of what he had. To him, it was about his money. He was not willing to let go of his wealth. He had Jesus Christ telling him right in front of him, this is what you need to do to get eternal life. It's not complicated. He didn't ask him to go run a mile or do this or do that. One simple thing. See, a lot of times he'll ask us to do something simple and we still find it difficult. I want you to go here. Well, Lord, it's Saturday afternoon. And, you know, there's a game on. It starts in about 20 minutes. And you want me to go pray for somebody? Yes. See, he won't ask you to do something impossible, though it might seem difficult. But see, but for us, it might be difficult. For Jesus, it's not difficult at all. So he told this man that this is what you need to do. And he left sad. Because that meant that he had to give something that meant more to him than eternal life. That was the most important thing for him, is his money. Again, I'm not going to hear preach about money. I have a job. We all have jobs. We all have responsibilities. We all have bills. We all, right? There's nothing wrong with having money. It's okay to have money. You have to have money to pay your bills and gas and eat, right? Nothing wrong with that. And if God blesses you with an abundance of it, amen. Call me, we'll go out to lunch. All right? But this man did not want to let go of the money. He did not want to let go of that meant more to him than eternal life. Now, for some of us, that's a difficult thing to do. We say, well, you know, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up. I wanted to hold on to certain things. Matthew 16:24 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. See, that's where a lot of people have a difficulty when it says pick up your cross. It says you got to deny yourself. See, that's the hard part for a lot of people. You mean I have to give up something? I thought I could still keep everything and still honor God. Well, yeah, up to a point. Because if you want to worship that something else more than God, then that's where the problem lies. Right? And that's when we start struggling, and then we wonder why. See, it wasn't God, again, didn't ask him to do something that was impossible. Right? Just give up your money and give it to the poor. He didn't say give it to me. He didn't say throw it away, he said give it to the poor, right? So there's a benefit to that. Okay, you're helping somebody. So what's wrong with that? But he couldn't do that. See, that meant more to him. He wasn't willing to let go of that. See, a lot of times we don't want to let go of things. We want to hold on to them. We want to keep a hold of it. And sometimes days and weeks and months go by and we're still holding on to things. And we just don't want to let it go because to us, some things, yeah, it's okay to hold on to, you know, certain things. But it's when you're holding on to that and not grabbing a grasp of Jesus Christ. See, when you want to hold on to something that's not godly, that can ruin your spiritual life. It's when you grab onto Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, and there's times where we struggle. We're having difficult times. And we want to hold on to those things. It's like, why are you holding on to that? Let that go. Hold on to Jesus. Like, you know what? He's the one that's going to help you through this. Well, I got a problem. I'm going to call so-and-so. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe instead of calling, because a lot of times it's happened, I've done it. We want to call the person that's going to give us the information that we like. You see? And we know that. We know that. Well, I'm going to call John because I know John's going to give me exactly the answer I want. He's going to make me feel good about this. See, but when you call somebody else and they tell you the truth, the godly truth, and say, no, you know what, brother? You need to repent from that. Let's pray for you right now. See, you need to let go of that, brother. That's holding you down. Now, a lot of times, that's difficult. We don't want to do that. says the Bible says he left with his face down. He was not willing to let go of the wealth, knowing what he would gain. I don't know about you, but if there's a chance that I can be with Jesus Christ every single day, I'm going to take that opportunity. Right? If there's a chance that you can be blessed with something, why would you let that go? If there's a chance that, you know, say, hey, brother, if you come over here with me, you might get a new car out of this. You know how long that line would be? Hey, if you come over here, you get a free meal out of this. Free meal? Sounds good to me. Right? I called Pastor Don last week. I said, Pastor, you know, you want to have lunch? He didn't say no. He said, okay. He couldn't that day. But he said, I'll tell you what, brother, I can't today, but you call me tomorrow. And we'll have lunch together. It says Matthew 6, 19, 20 says this. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy it, and where thieves break and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break or steal. See, our treasures, the most important treasure that we should hold on to is God. He gave his only son for every single one of us. If somebody did something great for you, wouldn't you want to kind of want to hang out with that person and get to know that person more? That person is giving you the greatest gift, eternal life. See, this man wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to let go of his wealth to be with Jesus. Instead, he wanted to be with his wealth and not with Jesus. See, we got to make sure we stay with Jesus and not with the wealth. Now, that doesn't have to be just wealth. It could be anything else. Sometimes we put other things higher than God. And in our minds, I say, well, God gave me this, so he understands. Yeah, God also understands that you are not doing the things that you should be doing. Now, sometimes he'll remind us in a nice way. Sometimes he might not be so nice. And then we're like, oh, Jesus is so mean. No, he's not. It's because he loves you that he's correcting you. It's because he cares about you that he's letting you know the things in your life. See, sometimes God will let you do something. He'll allow it. Okay? And then, but just God's just watching. And all he wants is your undevoted attention. Right? 100%. He gave 100%. Sometimes we just want to give 1, 2, 3%. Because it might be an inconvenience for us. We want to hold on to things that are not godly. Some of us, and I got it on here real quick, some of us are holding on to things that we shouldn't be holding on to. It's probably on my other page, but God's just telling me I need to talk about it now. Sometimes a lot of us are holding on to past hurts, past relationships, right? Holding on to pride, gossip, right? Anger. Those are the things we're holding on to. And we say, you know what? I go to church on Sunday. And, you know, I was there. But your heart wasn't. You physically were in church, but your heart was not where it's supposed to be. And then you leave the church, and then you go home, and you go like, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I was there. But you know what? Your heart wasn't. And you went to church still holding on to those things that are keeping you down. Now I understand that. There's hurts in our lives. It happens. You know, family member, whatever it is, somebody ill, that hurts. But we can't just grab onto that. We need to grab onto Jesus and say, you know what, God, in the middle of what I'm going through, I need you 100%. And God says, I am there. He is there every single day. At our weakest point, at our strongest point, when we're down, when we're up, he's always there. We're the ones that when we're down, we're like, oh, man, Jesus, let me down again. No, he didn't. See, we have this impression that Jesus kind of just walks away from us. Look at that real closely. Is he walking away from you or are you walking away from him? Are you more focused on things that are not about him? Look, there's nothing wrong with having nice things in life. But sometimes we put that way up here. We put those physical things higher than God. We put other people higher than God. There's no one greater. If we want God to be in our lives and to help us, we have to make sure that we hold on to him and not other things. It's easy to grab on, to hold on to things that are not godly. Sometimes we just get caught up. And I tell you what, the enemy loves distraction. He loves distraction. I think Pastor John shared it the last time when he was preaching. You know, when it's time to pray, sometimes that phone will ring. Girl, did you see that new sale on shoes? What? Hold on. Closes the Bible. Gets the phone. Where's the store at? Guys, I'm a sports guy. I love sports. Nothing wrong with that. Time to read the word. Phone rings. Or you got Alexa or Siri or one of them reminding you that the game is about to start. Yeah, I'm not going to knock that. I got Alexa. It helps a lot. Then it reminds you that the game is on. You're like, oh, man, but you know, I'm supposed to be praying because, you know, they called and said that, you know, so-and-so needed prayer. But the game's about to start. Well, I'll just say a quick prayer. Lord, please help them. Are you giving it from your heart? Are you giving 100%? No, you're grabbing on, holding on to the game. Instead of grabbing on and holding on to Jesus Christ and his word. Because when those difficult times come, and they will come, I guarantee you they will. When those days come, then all of a sudden we remember God. Oh, Lord, you know I need you. Yeah, he knows. He knows. And in spite of us sometimes walking away from him, he does never, ever, ever, ever walk away from you. He proved that he loves us 100%. One of the things that a lot of times we hold on to is selfishness. I got on here holding on to our bad attitude. No one tells me what to do. Some of us have that. No one tells me what to do. They walk around with this attitude that they're bigger and better than anybody, and it's just nobody's going to tell me how to run my life. And then when Jesus tries to correct you, you're like, wait a minute. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Do not love the world nor the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's okay to have nice things. See, with that word love, it doesn't say nice on the word, it says love. Jesus is love. He's about love. Love your brother, sister, thy neighbor. He's about love. It says, don't love the things of this world. We're in this world, but we're not to love the things. It's okay to like nice things. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. But it's that love. Where is your heart? Is your love on just things that are not godly? Or is your love on Jesus Christ? Or do we just call on him again just when we need him? You know, like is he, you know, like is Uber? You know, call Uber. I need something. I need a ride today real quick. I need Uber. See, God's not Uber. God is the God Almighty. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that loves you with all his heart. He's the one when the difficult times come, he's going to be there for you. Those times where you just feel so lost, and I know that a lot of us felt lost. I know a lot of us have stories here to tell of the times where they were just so desperate. Some people even probably considered suicide at one point. You know, there's just nothing out there for me. Nobody loves me. Actually, there's a lot of times. I used to think that God could just never forgive me for the things that I did in my life. I just thought there's just no way. You know, yeah, I hear that God loves, God loves, God loves, but just he can't love me that much to forgive me for the things that I did. And that's a lie of the devil. Okay, because God proved to me, and that's funny because when I first came to this church, me and my wife, Sebastian was like this big. Now he's beard and driving and everything. Right? And I said, you know what? This is the way God loves me. Not that much like that. You know why? Because I kept holding on to the past. See, my heart wasn't where God wanted it to be. My heart and my mind and my soul and everything in me was still holding on to the past. I kept holding on to that. And for a long time, and I have brothers and sisters from church from way back would call me and say, you know what, you should come visit us. And my reaction, yeah, okay, sure, yeah. But in my mind, I kept thinking, there's just no way I can go to church because I kept holding on to my past. I kept holding on to my hurts, to my anger, all right, to friends. My mother used to say in Spanish, amigo, un peso en el bolsillo. Translation, as long as you got money in your pocket, you'll have friends. My mother was right. She always said that. As long as you got money in your pocket, you'll have all kinds of friends. And I said, yeah, Ma, that's just a Spanish saying, a Puerto Rican saying that they used to have. No, it came true. And as long as I had the money, I had friends. But one time I lost my job, I lost my car, that's everything. I'm like, wow, I'm okay though. I got all my boys, got my back. They were all gone. They all left. I would call, yeah, seriously. But you know what? I kept holding on to my past hurts and to things that were not godly. We need to start letting go of those things. We need to start letting go of that anger that we sometimes have inside, that grudge that we have inside, and say, God, I need you to change my heart. 100%. I need to step away from that. I need you to help me and guide me to understand the things that you want me to know. To know more about you. To dig deeper into your word. Deeper into you, who you are. Help me. Push me forward. Help me forget all those things that just are not good for me. To get rid of that. But sometimes we hold on to those things. Again, that bad attitude. Who is she to tell me what to do? Who is he to tell me what to do? Maybe our prayer should be, hey, Lord, help me understand what I need to do. Help me fix my attitude. To change it. So that I can see with your eyes. See, that's what we need to do. We need to start things, see things through Jesus' eyes. See, he sees things a whole lot different. A lot of times we want to look at the exterior. God looks at your heart. Where's that at? Are you with me? Are you drawing closer to me? Or do you keep looking at your past? Stop looking at your past. Stop holding on to things that are just not going to help you. How can we walk every day with a big old chain and a ball attached to it? How far do you think you're going to get? Not very. God says, let me cut that off and watch how far I can take you. You watch the things that I can do if you just let go and stop holding on to things that are not godly and hold on to me. You see that all the time with parents and their kids. They're walking through the mall. Oh, you see that mom grab that hound. Kids like, oh my gosh. But the mom and their dad is holding on to that little boy and that little girl. You know why? Because she or he knows that if they let go, that little boy, that little girl can get lost or get hurt. But because the parent loves your child so much, just like our Heavenly Father loves us, he wants to hold on to us. You ever see the kids that do this? Pull the arm away from their father? Then they go running and run to a wall? See, it's happened. See, some of us do that. See, God's trying to grab us by the arm. Say, I got you, son. I got you, honey. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. And with that attitude of some of that past that we got, that dirtiness we got sometimes, we just like pull away and want to do our own things. Then when we stumble, crash, and fall, right, then like the little kids, they come crying. But that's okay. You know why? Because you know what the mom and dad do? They grab the hand and say, it's okay. I got you. I got you. Hold on to me. See, if you would have held on to mom or to dad's hand, you never would have hit that wall. We need to grasp on to Jesus Christ every single day. You know what? There's days, like I said, it's going to be difficult. And we're going to, you know, doubt comes in. The enemy wants to put all these thoughts in your mind and have you question it. Quick story I want to share real quick. And it's in Acts chapter 27. And we share this at the Wednesday Bible class. And I got to tell you, we've had some great teachers. And Pastor Don, Pastor John, they do an excellent job. And they put together a couple of people that teach these classes. And I got to tell you, they're great. But I'll just go through this real quick. And it says, before very long, and again, just before this is Paul. He's on his way to Rome. And he gets on this ship. Right, he's a prisoner. And they're trying to get to Rome because he's got to see Caesar. So in that path, on that way, it doesn't go exactly how some of them thought it was going to go. So in verse 14, it says, before long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. Verse 17. It says, so the men hoisted, and this is certain scriptures that I grab for a reason. It says, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together because they were afraid they would run aground on sandbars. And so, see, this hurricane wind came, and they're on this boat, and the wind is just throwing them all over the place. They can't control it. See, they're in a real, you know, serious storm in the middle of the ocean. Right? And this wind is just so powerful, and it's just taking them all over the place. They can't control the ship. The ship is falling apart. So they have to go manually try and tie this ship together so it just won't fall apart. Don't we feel sometimes that we're in a storm? Sometimes we feel that way. We're in the storm, and things are just happening everywhere. And we just don't know what to do. And these men, I can assume, they were on the ship and they were scared. I tell you what, I don't like being on boats. It's not my thing. You know, I mean, as long as I can see the shore, I'm good. And I remember a long time ago, and I might have shared this, that we went on a sales retreat years ago in Florida, and the guy says, oh, come on, Ray, we're going to go fishing. So they put us on this boat, and we're like, I don't want to be on the boat. Can't we just fish from the shoreline? Like, no, you know, you got to go out in the deep. I said, don't worry, Ray, don't worry about it. We don't go out that far. I knew I shouldn't have trusted those guys. Something, are you sure about that? Like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. So I'm like, okay. So I get on this boat. They said, let's just go downstairs. So we're downstairs. We're hanging out. And they're actually keeping me distracted. So we're downstairs. We're hanging out, whatever. All of a sudden, I come up. Right? The guy's, all right, you guys are ready? We're going to start fishing. I'm like, all right. I come up. There's no shoreline. We went out. So now I'm panicking, right? So now I'm grabbing life jackets, right? Not just one, right? I wanted a double blessing on this one. I want to make sure that I'm okay. And we're in the middle of the ocean, and the guy's like, all right, you guys ready to fish? And we're like, no, I want to go back. You know, there's no shoreline. So I hate being on the water like that. And the water, I think when it was worse, it had rained the day before, so the water was just a little choppy. And you don't like being in the water? That's a scary moment. So anyways, we're out there, and this guy says, all right, here's the bait. He pulls up this fish about this big. I said, that's the bait? What are we fishing? If that's the bait, I'm not a fisherman. But, I mean, I thought about it, like, if this is the bait, why can't I just take that in? Right, because it was you get a award for the biggest fish, for the ugliest fish, for the nicest fish. I'm going like, I'm good. I don't need to stand on the edge of this boat and see what's out there. I'm good with this. But anyways, that was my story with the boat. But these guys were in the water. And there's just waves coming and splashing and everything, and the boat's just falling apart. And Paul's on this ship. Paul started out being a prisoner, and God starts turning things around. Because in the middle of the storm, when we think that God's not there, he's right there. See, in the middle of your storm, and the things that you're grabbing onto, God is still right there. You just need to grab onto him, focus onto him, and he'll show you. So in the middle of the storm, ships everywhere. They're all over the place, falling apart. They're trying to tie it down. They're throwing the grain overboard because they want to make the ship lighter, right? So they're afraid when it hits the ground, it'll just break all apart. So they're trying to get everything. And they got to be in that ship, and they got to be scared. Paul was on the same ship. Paul went from a prisoner to a man that was giving them courage. It wasn't Paul that was giving him courage. It was Jesus Christ using Paul to give somebody else courage. See, God will do that. God will use you to give somebody else courage. If you're connected to God, if you're holding on to God, God will use you to lay hands on somebody and they will be healed. See, because don't forget, the same God that made all those miracles in the past is the same God that can do it today. See, we need to stop holding on to those things that cause doubt. See, God gave us promises. That's what we need to hold on to, those promises. He promised not to leave you nor forsake you. Says if you knock, the door will open. Right? If you seek, he says you will find. But you got to seek him. You got to hold on to him. So the ship was all over the place, and Paul gets up and says, don't worry. Because God gave me a promise. God promised me that we're going to make it there. When I thought about that, they got to the island of Malta. God got them where he said he was going to get them. You read that. Was it easy to get in there? See, they just didn't go ahead and cruise on there, right, on the shoreline, right? No, it didn't happen that way. He says, we're all going to be saved. We're all going to be okay. But guess what? This ship ain't going to make it. So you're thinking, well, why wouldn't him just go ahead and make it so smooth so they can all get to shore nice and easy? See, we want the easy. Right? We want the easy. We don't want to go through the struggles. We don't want to go through the hard times. We just want everything nice and easy and not worry about the difficult times. As soon as something starts getting difficult, it's like, oh, Lord, help me with this. You got a flat. Fix it. Said that last time. Oh, Lord, you know, your world's not falling apart because your car wouldn't start. Why are you making me go through this? Your car just won't start. Get a battery. It's not a punishment. But see, we want to blame God for everything that happens in our lives. But what about when we start connecting to God and say, God, I want you there with me. See, Paul gave him a word of encouragement. He said, don't worry. God gave me a promise that he's going to get us there. And you know what? God always keeps his promise. It wasn't easy getting there, but God got him exactly to where he wanted him to be. See, sometimes we'll go through those storms in our lives. God says, hold on to me. Grab a hold of my word, of my love, my understanding, my compassion. That's what we need to hold on to. We need to get a grasp of that and not just hold on to those negative things in your life. God is good. God is great. You know, he's always there. What? God's always there with us. You know, we need to remember, just like those two stories. See, those men at one point said, you know what, we're not going to make it. They actually thought they were doomed. And God gave Paul a word of encouragement to them. Can you imagine their reaction? First of all, we're all going to die. Then, no, we're going to be okay. See, sometimes that's us in our walk. Oh, I'm not going to make it. God says, I'll give you strength. God says, I'll be there for you. When we think, well, Lord, this is just too difficult for me to hold on to. You know, to grab up all the things that you want me to do, it's just difficult. God says, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the things that you need to make sure that you get through this storm. We all go through them. Isn't it wonderful to know that our Heavenly Father says, it's okay, I have you in my arms. When he says, I'm going to embrace you, just like a father does when he hasn't seen his son for a while. Sometimes you see those commercials or whatever it is. You know, the father's in the military and he's been gone for a year. Hasn't seen his kids. And at the airport, you see the little kid just take off. And his father opens his arms and embraces his son or his daughter. See, that's what we need to do. We need to not walk up to Jesus. We need to run towards Jesus. We need to run up to him and say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for your love, for forgiving me. See, I did that. I had to thank God for forgiving me because I thought he wouldn't. And I went from sitting back there where I didn't want to do anything in church. And God says, I got plans for you. See, you that are listening up there too, if you let go of the hurt, of the pain that's holding you down, sometimes it could be family that wants to hold you down. You got to let go of that. If it's your job that's holding you down, pray that God gives you a different job that won't hold you down. Whatever it is, God can do it. So I went from, I don't want to participate in nothing. Well, I'll just come with my family and we'll sit in the back. God says, I got plans for you. If you give me your heart, if you let go of the past hurt, pain, sometimes even friendships, because I'm going to tell you, I had to let that go too. Because God is more important. And God said, if you let go of those things, I'm going to show you what I can do. And I went from a person that wanted to sit in the back to God says no. So in my mind, I'm not going to do nothing in church. Praise God. I give God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. That from sitting back there, God has given me the opportunity and the blessing to be up here and preach his word. See how God works? That's how God works. Because in the middle of the storms, in the middle of the storms, God is there for you. If I can have the prayer team come up, please. I tell you what, if you want prayer this morning, and you're just tired of holding on to those things that have been keeping you down, it could be friendship, it could be money, it could be whatever it is. And you say, God, I want to let go of that. I'm tired. I'm tired of holding on to those things that have been keeping me down. I need strength. I need courage. If you want prayer for that, come on up. Come on up, and God will give you the strength and the courage to keep moving forward. Don't give up. That's the easiest thing to do, is give up. It's holding on to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that's going to help you every single day of your life. And I promise you, see, if you hold on to God's promise, like I did, you'll see God's blessings. Do I go through hard times? Yes, I do. Is it sometimes it's difficult? Yes, it is. Very difficult. But I remember that he told me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, Ray. I'll be there. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those that came this morning. Thank you for those that joined us this morning. God bless you. And like I said, if you want prayer, if you want to let go of those things that have been holding you down, come up for prayer. Amen. Amen. God bless you.